All right, welcome to the Fit Vegan Podcast. I'm your show host, Maxim Sigouin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fit Vegan Coaching, a company that is on a mission to help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce their risk of chronic illnesses by 2033 and a million by 2050. I believe that having a fit, healthy body and mind is the foundation to living an incredible life, and this is what the show will give you if you choose to listen and implement. Enjoy the episode and have a great day. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fit Vegan Podcast. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest, Shane Martin from Shane and Simple. As I was doing research on Shane for the podcast, I discovered your website, and I love what you wrote on there. I'm just an average, ordinary guy who makes plant-based cooking casual, easy, and delicious. I don't use fancy equipment. I don't use fancy chef speak, and I'm a normal dude who loves to cook and eat good food that happens to be completely plant-based, and who also lost, 100 pounds, pretty significant.
Well, there's that.
So Shane, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for being very gracious and excusing my flaking out on you a week ago when we were supposed to do this.
No worries.
Calendar challenge. So, but thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Life happens. God knew we were going to have a better recording today. So we're here.
Yes. There you go, man. Divine intervention.
Absolutely. So, man, let's just jump into your story. Like, what got you to eat plant-based and ultimately lose all that weight?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've been vegan now for, let's see, this was my 11th year. And, sorry, I'm outside.
You got a year on me.
I heard somebody. Oh, really? 10 years, yeah. Huh? That decade. I remember when I hit a decade, I thought, man, this is pretty cool. Like you feel like you've really accomplished something then, I think for me, I didn't grow up overweight and I was very athletic. I actually went to college on a football scholarship and then left college early because I wanted to pursue music in Nashville. And when I got to Nashville, I didn't have anyone making me work out or, and ate like a
structure.
Typical. Yeah. Yeah. And, I do better. I am every bit of an abstract creative person. My wife is very type A, but she's a graphic, she's like a administrator who is creative and, she's a graphic designer. I am a creative. So I make big messes and,
you're flowing.
Yes. And so when she sees me, I apologize, my hair, I haven't had my hair cut.
It's all good. It goes with the artist look.
I guess the wake up, don't care about it. Total blog lifestyle. Yeah. So, so all that to say, it was a few weeks before my 40th birthday, and I'd gotten to my heaviest, like almost 300 pounds, and I felt miserable. And I'd had a couple of years of just up until this point of just getting staph infections. I'd developed type 2 diabetes, heart disease, fatty liver, the whole thing. And I had done diets in the past and lost weight, never had a problem, but I'd gain it back and then some as quick as I would lose it. And I found a friend of mine online who had dropped a bunch of weight, got healthy, and was featured on Ironman, the triathlon, on their Facebook page. And he was just talking about how he had dropped like 80 pounds and got healthy, but he didn't really say what he had done. And I had tried to get in touch with him, but I couldn't find his number. And so I called a mutual friend of ours and I just said, I saw Thad had dropped all this weight. What did he do? And the first thing he told me, he texted me, he said, Thad went vegan. And then I immediately went, well, I'm not doing this, And people always laugh. And I've said it in every podcast. I said, I had the typical stereotype of what I thought a vegan looked like. And, they were super unhealthy hippies that lived in the woods and ate grass and bark and didn't take baths. That was my idea of a vegan. And my friend Jason just said, hey man, no, just go watch Forks Over Knives. And I think Forks Over Knives is kind of, for a lot of us that go plant-based, this, it was kind of our Ebenezer moment where we turn a corner, you know, and
yeah.
And this clouds part, and there's the, oh, you know, kind of thing. And, but the, so my wife and I sat down about 2 weeks before my birthday, my 40th, and watched it. And I just remember being blown away, because the thing that appealed to me and attracted to me where nothing else had before, it was the fact that they didn't really focus on, which the environment is important, you know, corporate factory farming, it's important to know what goes on there. But I like the fact that they didn't really focus on any of that. It was basically about the health of a plant-based diet. And I don't even remember them using the word. I mean, I'm sure they did, but I don't really remember the word vegan coming up a lot in Forks Over Knives. And so this idea of what is a plant-based diet, and it was very different from what I had thought. Like, so for me, I didn't even associate veganism with a plant-based diet, because I was thinking, oh, this is different, because they're focusing solely on how to heal yourself with food. Yeah. And it blew a lot of stereotypes out of the water for me. Like, you know, like they were eating pastas and breads and potatoes. And it was all these things that, you know, I feel like our dietary metamorphosis in this country goes from eat low fat, eat high fat, eat Atkins, eat keto, eat paleo, you know, and
extreme.
Yeah, a lot of extremes, and based on a lot of misinformation. But, and really, before I was looking into how food worked, I mean, it didn't make sense to me that you couldn't eat a potato, because my mind was always, if it grows, it's got to be better for you, yeah, you know, than, and I would do things like go and read the nutrition information of a potato. And I'm like, how is this bad? I don't, low in calories, no fat, lots of protein, cat fiber, vitamin C, the whole, and fiber. And yeah, I'm like, okay, but you know, the medical experts all say so. So anyway, so we watched Forks Over Knives that night, and I mean, I was sold. I mean, I told my wife, I said, I think I can do this, because they're saying eat. They're not saying don't eat.
Yeah.
And so the next day kind of went cold turkey. But that, what that looked like was we were just eating salads and oatmeal, because, you know, everything in the house, we had a lot. Yeah. Well, we had a lot of processed food in the house, you know, and a lot of chicken and hamburger meat and stuff like that. So, but you know, the interesting thing was two or three of my children had dairy allergies since they were born. So they weren't even on dairy. And so, yeah, so they didn't eat cheese or milk. But all that to say, we got that out of the house the next day, and then just kind of learning how to shop. But for the first week or two, it was really rough, because we were just eating tofu and salads, and it wasn't tofu prepared the right way. You know, it was just, we were opening a box of tofu and putting it on a plate with some salad and tomatoes, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
I guess, you know. So I like to tell people the first 2 weeks I kind of had to muddle through. But after that, I found Rip Esselstyn, and I mean, we were living in Auburn, Alabama, and found the Engine 2 diet book in the library. So I checked it out perpetually for like 3 months, because nobody was coming in there to get it, you know?
Yeah.
So I was writing all his recipes down, and I was really blown away at what a plant-based diet included. I mean, you know, he had desserts and he had appetizers, and it was just, and I'd always loved to cook, but it was just learning a different way to cook. But anyway, so that's kind of in a nutshell how it started. And, you know, saw results right off the bat, and my energy levels were up. I mean, life was just better, you know. That's the only way I know to say it. Like, and yeah. So, but I think what prompted me is I remember waking up that morning and looked in the mirror, and I felt terrible, and I was tight, and I was red, and you know, I had four kids, or we just had our fifth, and they, you could tell my wife and the kid, they just didn't feel secure anymore. And they had every reason not to feel secure, because I mean, I was walking death, you know, and yeah, my numbers were terrible. My cholesterol was through the roof, and you know, with diabetes, and I mean, so it was, I was a ticking time bomb. So after 3 months, had a physical and just saw everything reverse in 3 months. And so, and I always tell people, you know, I want to be transparent and honest. My goal was never to do this full time. I was like, I figure if I could just do 80% like this, that's going to be way better. But I felt so good, and I lost my taste for all that other stuff. I mean, it just was crazy. Yeah. So, but yeah, so that's kind of it in a nutshell. And that was, this February was 11 years.
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful. Do you mind if we dive? I'm always like, I love when people share their plant-based story, but I feel like that can impact people to a certain extent. I like to explore the before. The plant-based story, because a lot of people that need to change are at the before stage, and they're like, yeah, this sounds kind of like beautiful, but you know, I'm curious, like for you, Shane, like what was it that like led you to be like, man, this sucks, I need to change my life or else this, like why was it that morning, that day that you watched a documentary, like what was the, man, what was the build up that if people are listening in the same shoes as you can be like, fuck, I'm heading the same direction.
And I think that's a great question. And that's a great point. For me, I mean, I had known for several years, I needed to do something. And when we were in Charlotte before we had moved down to, Alabama to work down there, I had, started getting staph infections really bad that wouldn't heal, which is a sign of diabetes too. Mm-hmm. And I was just sore all the time. And, you know, and these things got, not to be so too graphic, but these things got so bad where some of these staph infections, I was having to go to the doctor to have them lanced, you know, like cut open so they would drain and, you know, but I was on penicillin all the time or antibiotics. And when we moved down to Alabama, my son was playing baseball and I was out with the coaches one night throwing pitches to the batters. And one of the little kids hit the ball back and I went to go pick it up while it was rolling and it hit a rock and bounced and it hit me in the shin. And it was just like super sore and it gradually started to swell and my leg got infected and I went to the doctor. Wow. And of course we had to go through the whole thing of where they did the song and dance of cut it open and it had to, I mean, it was terrible. And I remember when they gave me an antibiotic and I had to go, the doctor's office I went to was right across the parking lot from Target. So I went over to Target to the pharmacy. And when I went in, my leg hurt so bad from the infection, I couldn't walk. So I got in one of those little motorized carts, you know, and started trucking around in that. And so I already felt like, well, this sucks, you know, because I used to make fun of people that rode these things, you know, and I got stuck over in the pharmacy and I had to back up. Of course, the beep is going off and I backed up and pulled right in front of a mirror and I just saw what I looked like. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this. And it, you know, yes, we need to not, and I'm not talking about fat shaming or anything like that. Be comfortable in your own body, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, but, I'm with you on that.
But for me, my appearance and my sickness was purely my lifestyle choices. I didn't have a condition that made me overweight. I didn't have I wasn't genetically predisposed. I was a fat ass because I ate and I didn't exercise and I didn't take care of myself. And so I got up to close to 300 pounds and I was just, that's all I did was lay around and eat and watch television, go to work, come home, you know. And, but when I was backing up and I'm all bandaged up on the leg and I see the myself in the mirror, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And it's like, this is terrible. Like I'm like on death's door. And so But that wasn't right away. I mean, so it was probably another year, few months to a year before I actually watched Forks Over Knives and still had a couple more episodes of staph infections and just, you know, frequent urination, which is a, you know, telltale sign of diabetes. Yeah. And, you know, and it just was, life was just miserable. It was just absolutely miserable. And so,
yeah.
Now that's kind of the, towards the end of before I kind of made the change, which is kind of what pushed me over the ledge. But the fact is, leading up to that, you know, it was the first, you know, when I moved to Nashville, I was 20 years old and I weighed 185 pounds. I got married 6 years, 6'1".
Just give some context. Yeah. 6'1". Okay.
Yeah. And, 5.5 years later, when I got married, I was 26 and I weighed 240 pounds. And okay. So this would have been this was a gradual thing. And then it just, you know, and then eventually, then 6 years later, we moved to Charlotte. And then a few years later, kind of topping out at like right at almost 300. I mean, it was terrible. And so, yeah, but I mean, life was just not. It was miserable. I mean, it just really was. And I was kind of at my wit's end, you know, I was like, I don't know what, like I said, I woke up that morning and it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to go plant-based today. It was just looking in here and going, I remember looking at myself in the mirror and remember thinking 5 years earlier, there's no way I'd get bigger than I was. And then I was.
Yeah.
And I remember looking that morning going, wait a minute, 300 pounds. Like what's next? 350? You know, 375. I mean, it just was, and that's where I was headed. And I was just like, I cannot do this. I've got to do something. And like I said, I got home that morning. I was working at a church at the time and I was a music director. And I just remember I got home and texted a buddy. That's when I texted my buddy and I was like, I've got to do something.
Yeah.
And that was, like I said, the tipping point. But I felt like, you know, it was, I think I tell people it started when I moved to Nashville because I just got lazy, you know?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I appreciate you sharing that. And I feel like it's common for like athletes throughout high school and college, as soon as they drop off, right? You're in a mode where you're exercising all the time. You can eat whatever you want. You know, you're just going to burn it off. And then you get into like real life without the structure. And then it's like, I'm still eating whatever I want, but you're not moving as much.
Yeah.
And then the weight starts to pile on after. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Was there more moments, you know, when you were backing up and you saw yourself in the mirror? Like, was there a bunch of these moments throughout the way that you're like, shit, something needs to change? And then another moment, shit, something needs to change? Or did like 50 pounds have to come on before you had one of these moments?
No, I think, you know, it's interesting. That's a great question because I think for me, I don't think we ever see ourselves as others see us.
Yeah.
You know, sure. And the truth is we don't want to hear the truth. Sorry. This is what it's like in small town Mississippi, loud trucks. Everybody's got them. We never want to hear the truth. The truth, I mean, no matter how tender people come across, it's like the truth offends. It just does. I mean, yeah. And even if we're trying to be truthful and honest with ourselves, and as long as I didn't, it was weird. As long as I looked in a mirror and I was getting ready for work, or I thought, hey, this is okay. This shirt hides this or this does this. But if someone took a picture and I saw the picture and I was going, geez, like, you know, you see, that's reality. And so I think, you know, for me at that time, I had moments of going, I've got to do something, but it would quickly fall off, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I think that morning, just because, but I had not had in that last year before going plant-based, I had not had just the consistent like I said, the staph infections and the visible health issues that were coming along with my lifestyle. And so for me, that's just when it just got to the point of, this is not doable.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you sharing that, because that's tough, right? Like, everyone knows that going plant-based now is more popular and there's obviously a lot of health benefits. But yeah, it's the part before the people miss. It's like, this is painful, but not painful enough yet.
Yeah.
And then as you get deeper and deeper into it, you're like, oh shit. You look yourself in the mirror, you see that you're red, your skin is tight. You're like, fuck, like now it's painful. Now I need to change something.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. And I tell people, you know, even if you feel healthy or you don't feel as terrible as I did, a lot of that is you're just anesthetized or numb to it, because, you know, it's like you do the same thing for so long that it just kind of, it's like I tell people with our house that we've been renovating for 2 years,
you never know, ending when project.
And it's like when we moved back in, we were living on subfloors and a demolished kitchen, and we had two thirds of the house boarded up, and it was just miserable. And we've been living in unfinished for so long, but now it's like 95% of the way there.
Yeah.
But we're still like, gosh, we got to get this done. And people come over and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe what you've done. And so it's like, we're so numb to the progress that our Facebook memories show up and we see like last year where we were and all this. And so it's like, you know, and I feel like it's like that with our lifestyles. And so I tell people, even if, you're 20 pounds overweight and you don't feel all of what I felt, it's just, you're numb to the pain at this point. So it's like, you know, and regardless of how you feel, I mean, I feel like that's where we can't always do things on how we feel, because it's like, facts are not always the truth, you know? So just because you feel okay and feel good doesn't mean you don't have issues going on or you can't do something better. You know, it's like, and so I tell people, it's like, I'm not going to try to convince you to go plant-based. I'm not going to try to convince you to be a vegan. I think the science is out there. It does it. Yes. I'm walking evidence. I'm a living evidence of it, but it is what it is. And because you're not going to convince people against their will. And I feel like a lot of people sadly get to that point of desperation. And it's just like, the science is in. And you know, it's kind of like you were talking a while ago. You know, even I remember from when I went plant-based, the accessibility now is just
It's way crazy. Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even from 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Remember 10 years ago, man, the only treats we had was like tofu that was banana flavored. Like that was you going wild on the weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you can't go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Sorry. Go for it.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, it's like even at the little local Walmart here, I mean, there's really nothing. I'm getting nutritional yeast here. In the Walmart, in this place. Nobody here knows what that is. I mean, it's in the little canisters, but I mean, it's like if I get hard up and don't want to order it on Amazon, you know, and I do want to tell people, it's like, and there's loads of vegan products there. Like they have a freezer section and then there's a, and so I have to tell people that's, we're not talking about that kind of, you know, I know that says plant-based, but some of that crap's no better for you than the animal counterpart, you know, and I tell people, like, look, I'm not one of these militant, you know, like people that don't know how to have fun, you know, like they want to get pissed about everything, you know, and everything's an offense. And it's like, you know, so you get on some of these oil-free plant-based groups, which we operate on a oil-free whole food plant-based diet. That's the majority of what we do in the house. But if we have guests come in or it's Memorial Day or whatever, and somebody rolls the grill out, we'll go get the Impossible Burgers, you know, we'll go, I like to say, do something that's less unhealthy, you know, or, you know, like, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, so, but just the whole thing, the strides that have been made in the plant-based world are just unfreaking believable. Even in the last 10 years, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm with you on that, right? I'm not an activist in the traditional way. It's more like lead by example. If you're doing so great and you're shining, and people are going to come to you naturally. And if they see, like, when your friends probably saw you lose 100 pounds, like, shit, Shane, what did you do? And that was your opening to having a receptive mind.
Yeah. And that was, you know, it was crazy because it's funny because that's how the blog started. Is when all my family saw me just dropping weight and getting healthy. And the one thing they all said is they were like, you look healthy. You don't look depleted. And to me, that's the key, because when people do this Atkins or keto and they're starving all the time and they look hungry, you know, and it was like, I never was hungry, you know? And so they were asking, what are you doing? Like, what is it that you are doing? And when I would tell them, you know, a lot of times the response would be, oh, that's interesting. But yeah, you still got to have your dairy and your protein. And I'm like, yeah, it looks like I'm really struggling with that, doesn't it? I mean, it just, and so really my wife was like, you know, if you could start a blog, because she followed a lot of bloggers, she said, maybe you could just put the recipes out there. So if the family wanted them, you know, and I'd never blogged or anything like that. And so, but that's kind of how the blog was originally birthed. It was going to just be a place to throw some stuff up to send to the family, you know? So.
Yeah. Before I dive into the blog, I just want to add to a comment you left earlier about self-love, right? And kind of being at that place and you wanting to lose weight. You know, I've shared this with people before, but man, to me, self-love is like, yes, you have to love yourself with where you're at, but you have to be at a place where your body is not a limitation to you living your life to the fullest, right? Yes. Like self-love is you eating enough, eating properly and moving your body in a way that will allow you to not be a limitation to you living your best life. So if you're carrying an extra 100 pounds, you can love yourself, but you can lose 100 pounds in the process of self-love to be your best self ultimately. Because I'm sure your wife gets a better version of you. I'm sure your kid gets a better version of you since you lost the weight too.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people. It's not about, I always tell people the weight loss is a side effect to getting healthy. You know, you're going to naturally drop weight on a plant-based diet. If you're, you know, I still tell people you can overeat on a plant-based diet. It's super easy to do that. You know,
especially
it's
nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I love avocado sandwiches. I'm a huge Rich Roll fan. First time I saw him make avocado sandwiches. And I mean, I remember we were on an 8-hour trip from Charlotte to Nashville to visit my in-laws. And man, all we had in the van that last 2 hours was pistachios and bananas. And I'm like, man, I can't eat any more nuts or bananas. Like I didn't want any, you know? And we got to their house and they had some of the biggest avocados. And I think I ate 3 avocado sandwiches, you know? But I tell people, half an avocado is okay, but you can't go, it's a good fat, but you can't go eat 12 avocados in one sitting, you know? So you can overeat on a plant-based diet. But my point is kind of what you were saying is that, you know, people, and I'm definitely not trying to get into the politics of this or anything like that. I just think we have become a society of where it is not okay to be honest if it offends. And you're right. We should never make fun of a disability. We shouldn't make fun of people. Cause I do have friends who have carried a condition where it just is hard for them to lose weight and they have been overweight their whole lives and they fight and they struggle. I've sat with them and they've cried, but we know from statistics that especially here in America and in the state of Mississippi, we know that 90% of the people that are obese are not carrying a gene that makes them predisposed to be overweight. We know that. We know that 86% of life of chronic Western disease is lifestyle. And when I see TikTokers eating corn dogs and blowing themselves up and gaining weight and getting fat intentionally and say, don't body shame me, I'm like, to hell with you. You should be shamed. If you're going to go do this on purpose, that's different. That is different. Yeah. And you get no sympathy from me because, you know, if I see you stuffing your face with mac and cheese and ribs and grilled cheeses and cheeseburgers, and you're doing it because you're trying to prove a point to say, I'm beautiful. I'm like, no, you're not. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that lifestyle, there is nothing appealing about that.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Yeah, yeah. We could definitely dive down a rabbit hole with that, but
yeah, sorry, soapbox, yeah, but yeah,
yeah, no, 100% with you on that. Let's move over to the block.
Okay, so, quickly.
So how did that change you guys' life to kind of start that blog, and how did it evolve throughout the years?
Yeah, so it was probably, I think it was back in, it was about 7 or 8 years ago. And, man, maybe longer than that. I think it was around 2015, maybe. 2014, okay. 2015. And my wife was saying, you know, I follow these bloggers. She said, you ought to look at this and share your story. Maybe it'll catch on. And, you know, these bloggers get sponsors and pay. But I had, I was following food blogs. But I had no clue how to make money on a blog or anything like that. And I kind of started reading up on it. Well, let me back up. Kind of my thing was, I'd gotten so passionate about the plant-based arena and lifestyle, and I was just really getting burnt out working in a church. I was like, man, I would love to do something in this realm of helping people, like, with this lifestyle. I mean, really, that's kind of how it started. And so my intention was never to do a blog full time, but then I was like, you know, but I was always following like Rip's story and Rich Roll's story, and I was like, man, I want to do what these guys do. You know, they're out there following their passion and they're doing what they love and they're getting paid for it. And I was like, man, that'd be great. And so we started, I got online, went to Bluehost and registered. My wife, you know, it was so funny. We still joke because I registered so many names when I was trying to start the blog, you know, spent so much money just reserving names, like a domain name. But, you know, I think the first one, it was called the Plant-Based Menu. And, you know, and then there was one called From Feast to Famine. And I thought that was going to be the name of the blog, or From Famine to Feast. I thought that was going to be the name of the blog. And I was having breakfast with a friend of mine one morning in Charlotte, and he goes, yeah, I saw it, dude. But he said, that just sounds like a really bad youth group name at a church. You know, it doesn't really. And I was like, and I thought, okay, point taken. And I was on the phone with some friends of mine who were vegans. They live in Colorado now. And I had done some conferences with them and immersion weekends. And I never will forget, Matthew told me, he said, man, he said, I think the thing that just makes your story so cool is, he said, you're just natural. I am a people person. I love to be out front. I love to talk to people. I love to engage. I'm not a hermit. And he said, that's kind of who you are. And he said, you've got to include yourself on the blog and your story. He said, it doesn't need to be this run of the mill generic recipe site. Anybody can do that. You know, he said, you really need to bring your personality into it. And my wife was out of town, and I think one morning I was walking around, and he just said, or something from the conversation, and he said, it just needs to be about you, plain and simple. And so the next morning I woke up, and that was going, and I thought, well, what if it was just like Shane and Simple? Because my whole thing is, when people, like, really, my whole shtick when I would talk to people and even do things for people, like help them with menus or recipes or whatever, they were like, this is really easy. Like, you know, cause everybody thinks eating plant-based is for the well-heeled elite and the intelligent, you know? And I'm like, I don't have time for that, you know? And so I just started realizing it's really simple to cook this way. It really, really is. It's not complicated. It's only as complicated as we want it to be. And so anyway, that being said, I called my wife. I said, what do you think about the name of the blog, Shane and Simple? She goes, that's totally you. And she'll tell you, when I get in a conversation, if you're explaining something to me, I don't care about what road you took to get to where you got to go. I don't care. I like, get to the point. Like, I want it short and sweet kind of thing. You know, I don't like a lot of chatter for the sake of chatter. I mean, I love to talk and have conversation, but it's like, when I ask you a question, I want an answer, you know? And so she said, you know, you're just kind of to the point, you want to get there and do it. And I was like, so I got online, registered the domain name, ran it by a couple of people. And my wife came back with the first logo and she said, it just needs to be like this. And that's kind of how it started. And so I did that, but it was probably another 2 years before I put the first recipe out, because I'm that artist nature. I'm a perfectionist. I want everything. I wanted my blog to look like these, all these professional bloggers, you know? And I started listening to podcasts and they all said, look, stop waiting. It's your content, be consistent, but just do something. And I wasted 2 years, just kind of couldn't pull the trigger, so to speak. And I never will forget, just one day I was like, I didn't have a camera. I'd never taken pictures. I took an iPad. And I think the first recipe I did was this grilled peanut butter and jelly and banana sandwich, you know, and took pictures with my iPad, and the lighting was terrible. And I still leave the pictures on there so people can see how terrible they were, you know, and just started getting into it and doing it. And, back then, before Facebook was, you know, messing with the algorithms and all that kind of stuff. And, you know,
the good days, like
the good days where they wouldn't penalize you for posting an external link. You know, I joined all these plant-based groups and I was really fortunate they had not cracked down on that yet. And I was just sharing everything on these groups, and that's kind of how it took off. And it took me about a year, and I still didn't know how to get it monetized or anything. So that was August of 2017 when the first recipe went out. And I wanted it to look like a legit website. So I went to Google and signed up for Google AdSense and just ran Google's code, which you make no money doing that. Yeah. And I was checking my Google every day and I was making like 11 cents, 27 cents. Yeah. And I had one recipe that had a lot of hits one day, and, or what I thought it was like, it was the first big hit I got on a recipe. And it was like, I think I had 8,000 hits in a day, and thinking, oh, this is incredible. And I only made like $10 on Google. And I was thinking, oh Lord. Yeah. But for a year, I got up every day at 5 o'clock, went to a little coffee house and blogged and did something. And then one Thanksgiving, things gradually grew. And then I got monetized with Mediavine, and I was making a decent side income. I was probably making anywhere from like $800 to $1,200 a month, thinking this is great.
Yeah.
And then in 2019, I was just on the verge of burnout doing what I was doing. I was managing 3 church sites, the music part of it. I was exhausted, you know, and I just, you know, I still love to, you know, lead worship in a church or whatever, but I was like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. I'm burnt out. And my wife and I were looking, and I had recently, my income was probably half of what my full-time income was on the blog. The blog was about half of what my full-time income was. And my wife worked part-time as a graphic designer, and because we homeschooled all our kids. And I remember she and I, it was October of 2019, still remember it. We met at this little bake shop, coffee house called Nova's Bakery in Little Mint Hill, North Carolina. It's where I used to go to blog. It was one of my happy places. It was never full. I would go get a, you know, just my little favorite coffee drink and would sit over there, and they played classical music from public access radio, you know, and just, it was such happy memories. But we met there that day and we sat down and talked. And we had an official business meeting, and she said, at some point we've got to decide, are you going to keep this a hobby as a good side income, or are we going to try to do this full time? And we looked at all the numbers, and she said, I can increase my work with the company I do a lot of work for. They've already told me that. She said, but if, you know, we looked at the bare minimum we had to have to pay to buy our own insurance, everything like that. And by the time we were done, I said, do you think we can do it? She goes, I think we can do it. She said, this is the bare minimum. And we were kind of right on the cusp of the bare minimum. And I just remember thinking, if we can do this, and I was scared as hell. I mean, I was like, this was, you know, but everybody I've talked to said that own their own business. They said at some point, you just have to be willing to work full time, double time for a part time income. And yep. If you don't, you'll never commit time to it, you know? And so,
yeah.
So anyway, all that to say, we sat down in that meeting and we talked for 2 hours that afternoon and we said, we're going to do it. And so the next day I had lunch with one of the pastors. I said, I'm giving you my resignation. I'm not doing this anymore. And so January 1st of 2020 is when I went full time with the blog and, started out great. And it was really interesting because I was so excited. I romanticized things. I kept telling my wife, the first day I'm a full-time blogger, we live 2 hours from the mountains. I said, let's just go to the mountains. We don't have anything to worry about. Of course, I didn't do that. I was kind of stuck. Like the first day I freaked out. The first day I was a full-time, officially full-time as a blogger, I freaked out because I was like, I had structured my day in accordance with another job. So that I knew how to work that way, but I freaked out. And so I left and drove around and I called a buddy of mine and he said, look, dude, he's a close friend. He's an Anglican priest and loved the guy dearly. And I called him, I said, I don't know what to do, Eric. And he said, look, man, he said, you have been in burnout mode. You've been driving in fifth gear for the last 2 years. And he said, now all of a sudden you have thrown it from fifth to second gear and you're wound out and your RPMs are burning out. He said, look, dude, he said, stop what you're doing and don't do anything for 2 weeks. Operate on the bare minimum. Just don't do anything. And that's what I did. And I was like, okay. And I was going to be okay, I guess. And so I still wasn't making much money, but you know, I was just posting things to social media and keeping things tidy, but I didn't freak out, try to figure a schedule out or anything. And then kind of started finding my groove and things were going well. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had all that to worry about because I get paid through advertisers. So all the advertising budgets got nailed and companies were trying to figure out how to advertise and what they were going to spend. And so it just was, it was a tumultuous time, but it all worked out. And I still think probably that first year I made $25,000 less than my full-time job, but you somehow by the grace of God, we got through, the bills were paid. And every year since then, things have gone up, you know, the income has increased, opportunities have increased, and we still operate like every month, my wife and I going, wow, we get to do this one more month. That's kind of how we operate, you know? And, it's been great. And I told her, I walked up to her a few months ago and I just sat down and I said, do you realize neither one of us have had a boss collectively for 4 years? I was like, isn't that the greatest thing in the world? And so, you know, but it continues to grow and it does enough that we can live and I get to do my passion and be on podcast and, you know, currently writing a second book, you know? And so it's, but that, I mean, that's probably more than you wanted to know, but that's kind of the history of the blog. And
It's beautiful, man. Cause I'll be honest with you, we have very similar timelines. You know, April 1st will be 4 years that I've been doing this. And 4 years ago, I was almost six figures in debt. I had $34.37 in my bank account. I got a tattooed on my finger to remind myself where I was. I was eating at a food bank. My late partner had breast cancer and I was caring for her. And so, man, like I get it. that leap of faith that you took to do that, I think there's big ties with your transformation, because the most people for their transformation wait to do what most people do in business, is everything has to be perfect. I have to have the exact game plan before I start. versus just taking imperfect action and just fucking taking a shot and then readjusting after and seeing what sticks.
Yes. Well, and I think too, you can operate one of two ways in desperation when there's urgency. You know what I mean? You can either panic and drown, or you can go, I have no choice but to do something. And I think, and who knows what would have happened if I'd stayed and worked part time. They offered me a position at the church to go, hey, go to this site. We love you here. We'll pay you decently part time. You can keep your benefits and just show up on Sunday. And I remember talking to my wife about that. And I was like, that's kind of what I wanted to do. But she says, I think if you do that, there's always going to be this safety net, you know? Yeah. And so we just decided, you know, and I don't know, it was kind of reminded me, I had been reading, I'm a history buff sort of, and I was reading about when Cortez came to the New World, you know, and his whole story is when they didn't see the paradise, he said, but this is where we're going to stay. And they burned all the ships so they couldn't leave.
Yeah.
So they had no choice but to make it work, you know? And so I think that's kind of, we just decided we're going to burn our ships and there's not going to be an exit from this island, you know? And so, but yeah, man, your story is incredible. And I do resonate with that because it's like, you know, and you know, it's like, we're not rolling in money, but it's like every day I get to wake up and do my passion.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
And I mean, I don't like to
keep a safety boat. Most people keep a safety boat somewhere.
I don't want to like tout this, but I mean, it was like, I was so with the renovation on the house and all the stress of that and everything the last 2 years, man, after Thanksgiving, I don't think I worked for 7 weeks. I did little things, but the blog, the numbers were going up and I was like, almost like it was God telling me, hey, slow down, bro, breathe. Like, and so that's kind of, I felt like that's what I've been doing. Now I'm gearing back up, but you know, it's like, man, I could have never done that doing anything else, you know? And
yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Like I tell a lot of like, you know who Tony Robbins is?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I was, my wife and I were at a private event in Hawaii with him, in a Platinum Partners, and, it was awesome meeting him, like a lifelong dream of mine to meet him. But he always talks about burning the boats, right? And he says, like, I always, I'm not sharing this to impress you, but to impress upon you. All right. So for the people listening, like Shane's story is incredible, but he gets that reward of being able to take 7 weeks off and have, you know, a great body and a great health because he took that risk, right? So there's no, again, just use that as inspiration because the people that you look up to that can be a form of inspiration took massive risk where he could have lost everything, right? It could have not worked. And he went back to the job and exactly. But that's the rewards you get from taking those types of risk. When you're sharing that, I was like getting excited. I was like, yeah, it's like that back against the wall type of feeling where you just have to power through and get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting and just kind of hearing you talk about your story and then rehashing some of mine, you know, it's like, there's so many moments that just come back and I know exactly where I was when I made a decision to do something. I remember what it felt like. I remember, you know, and I tell my wife, I said, you know, what's kind of sad is I feel like when it does become your job, I never go, oh, I'm just fed up with this. It's never like that. But you know, there's always this honeymoon period, you know,
where for there's sure.
this excitement. But I was telling my wife, I remember the getting up at 5 o'clock to go blog. And when I wasn't making any money and acting like I was making $1 million, I tell people you need to remember that because you will lose that. You will lose that and it can affect your passion. And so there are days I just have to take a moment and go, I want that passion back. So what am I going to do? That's a little bit different than what I'm doing now. That's going to spark that passion, you know? And
yeah.
And so, but yeah, all that to say, you there's a lot to risk, but you know, and it's like I said, I tell people it's not that I've gone viral. I'm not like on the level of a minimalist baker and rolling in hundreds of thousands of dollars, but it's like my income has gone up every year and we don't have normal jobs. And I like that. you know, I'm doing something based on my creation. And it's kind of cool walking around this little town. Everybody knows me, and, you know, it's like, they don't do jobs like this. So it's, you're almost kind of this D-list celebrity, so to speak, you know, and then, and it's just fun. 'Cause they go, "Hey, I just found out what your job is, man. That is really cool." You know? And it's like, so I love the conversations that it sparked, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, man, I hope the listeners take that as inspiration, because all these big risks that you took, or these larger steps that you took, brought you a great reward on the flip side. And ultimately, as we covered, it wasn't easy all the time, right?
There was
moments were scary, especially when you work on your own. There's ups, and you're like, "I'm on top of the world." Then you're like, "Oh my God, I'm drowning. Everything is failing."
Yeah.
And I suck at this. It. And you go right back up.
Yeah, that's exactly. There's a lot of that, you know?
Yeah.
But,
and so,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
As you say, you mentioned you're writing a second book. When is kind of that plan to come out?
I don't know. I do know that the first book is, they sent the copies. Like, I have the physical copy in the house now. And that's probably one of the most emotional things that I've ever done. Like, I still can't believe I wrote a book for a publisher. Like, that just, I'm still kind of blown away by that. But, and that's a whole funny story in itself, but how that even happened. But, so it's a vegan bread book, the first book. It's all vegan artisan breads. And so the publisher wanted a book of, you know, how can we take these breads that contain animal products, and we want a vegan bread book, you know? And a lot of breads are vegan anyway. Like, you know, there's, unless you're doing like the challah breads or, you know, stuff like that. But, so I tell people, this is not a whole food plant-based book, because there's a lot of vegan butters and oils and stuff, but the book was already, the publisher had already, everything was done backwards. They had already had the book, the budget, what they wanted, how they wanted it. They just didn't have the author. And they found me by some random search through Pinterest and reached out, sent me an email and said, "We'd like to have a meeting with you." And so they thought I was a baker because of one of my pins. And they said, "Oh, you're a bread guy." And I said, "Well, I like bread." I mean, I was like, so
I'm qualified.
So I tell people, in entertainment or anything like that, you always say yes and then learn how to do it, you know? And
for sure.
That's, don't miss those opportunities. And so anyway, they ended up giving me the contract. So finally finished, and then they came back and asked me to take the photos for it. And so that was interesting, stressful, but fun. And then when I saw the finished product the other day, they sent it, I broke down. I just couldn't believe how emotional it was. It was pretty cool. And then in the course of writing this book, they were pleased enough. They came back and said, "We want to do another bread book because there's a real demand for bread machine recipes." Like, there are no vegan bread machine books. They said, "We've searched the New York Times bestseller." They said, "Do you want that book?" And I was like, because I made them pull their hair out. I missed every deadline. I was always running behind, you know, but they gave it to me. So that's what I'm working on now. And as usual, I was going back last night, looking at the contract, and you asked when it was due. I don't know when it's going to come out, but I was supposed to have the final manuscript in February 12th. And I thought it was March 12th. So all day long today, I've been working on the manuscript, and then I've got to start shooting again. But yeah, so they're both bread books, but I'm really excited about them. I mean, like I said, I tell people, this is not a Shane and Simple cookbook. It's not the healthy whole food, but, you know, it's like, again, it was an opportunity to write and hopefully further the brand, and then kind of use it as leverage to go back and say, now I want to do the book that I want to do, you know? And so, but that being said, the first bread book, it's called Baking Vegan Bread at Home, and it goes live. You can pre-order on Amazon, but it goes live in stores March 12th is when it's published.
Okay. So actually, this podcast will be out after that. So if you guys are listening to this, the link will be down below for you guys to be able to order the books. Yeah, the podcast will be live slightly after that.
Okay, great.
Shane, man, I want to say a massive thank you for sharing your story and taking the time to record with me. I always love to end on words of wisdom. So what is something that you can share with the listener that's been very impactful for you on your journey?
Golly, man. That's a great question. I would say if you have a passion. I was 47 when I went full-time with the blog. I would just tell you, you don't have to be a full-time blogger. You don't have to be, you know, I'm not telling you go out and get a career later in life, but I think the thing that I would say that it just kind of entails everything is one, and this sounds trite, but there is so much truth in it. Learn to wake up every day and not be discontent. And figure out a way. And what I mean is don't settle and just be content with the status quo. But what I mean is wake up every day and learn to be grateful and realizing that every day that we have, I mean, we're not promised the next second. So it's like take advantage of your moment with your family. If you have a desire, if you have a dream, you know, everybody told me doing this was a waste of time. Except my wife, you know, like you can't make money doing that.
The only person that matters.
Yeah. You're the only person that matters. And so I would say one, just wake up every day and learn to not be discontent from a grateful standpoint. Just be thankful for where you are in your season. If you're struggling with something, try to see what it's showing you and teaching you. And when your back's up against the wall, like you said, you can either drown or you can either fight like hell and get out, you know? So I would say one, you know, learn contentment. Yeah, just don't take anything for granted. I mean, don't, you know, like never consider a day wasted. Like, you know, I mean, learn to, I think for me, I have a big problem procrastinating. And so I would just tell people, you know, learn when you need to gear down, but also like just learning to be grateful and taking advantage of the moment you have in front of you and never buy into the lie that that could never happen to me. Like that's just something other people do. I mean, everybody has something in them that they're passionate about. There's something.
Yeah.
And so for me as a creative, and I guess that's where I was going is that, you know, yes, learn to be content with where you are and realize where you are right now is learn to be grateful for what you have. But at the same time, don't ignore your passions, regardless if it's knitting, if it's cooking, if it's driving people to the store, help them tap into that. Because whether you do it for a living or not, that is what gives you life. That is what gives you purpose. That is what gives you drive. And when you tap into that thing that you are excited about, you don't have to. It was like me when I was not making a dime on the blog for a year. Like I said, I was getting up at 5 o'clock and some of my happiest moments were there before the sun rose at that little coffee shop, drinking coffee, staring out the window and blogging like I was making $1 million. And it became a new creative outlet for me. So learn contentment, but also learn and focus on what your passion is and tap into that. And whether you make money or not, it gives you purpose. It gives you life and it excites you to wake up, you know, and if anything, I tell people it surely makes the day a little more tolerable when you know you're going to do something either to start the day or end the day that you just love to do just simply because you love doing it.
Yeah, it makes me think of this quote. It's like success without fulfillment is failure, right? And if you can have all the success in the world, and if you're not doing what you love and it doesn't fill your cup, man, does it ever suck. I've been there. It's terrible. You think it's great, but it's terrible once you get there.
Dude, I could not agree with you more. That is absolutely true. And I remember people going, well, money isn't everything, and I wasn't happy. And I remember going, dude, I'd totally take a job making $200,000 or $300,000 a year and be miserable. And I started thinking, as I got older, that's bullshit. There's no way I would do that. Not now. Yeah. There's no way I would give up doing what I'm doing if it meant I could quadruple my income, but I had to wake up miserable every day. There is no way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a time freedom aspect for me, man. Someone else having control of my time. Oh, I hate it so much. That's when I spend the most amount of money is to get out of things that I don't want to be in.
Yeah. Dude, and not to kind of belabor the point, but I think what you just said, that's why I could, my time, I always tell people when I did music, I play for free. You're paying me for my time. And that alone, what you just said for me is why I could never, and I pray that I never have to go back and be subordinate to someone else's time, you know, where just for me, the invaluable thing right now is that intangible is I manage my time, and I'm a terrible at it, but it's okay that I get to be terrible at it, you know? And I mean, like,
yeah,
that would
be
something.
So it's fine.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I tell people, man, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that makes me want to leave this podcast and go work harder than I work now so that I don't want to give my time up. I don't want to give that up.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Well, Shane, man, this is a beautiful conversation. We went to different places that I didn't know we were going to go, but I'm happy we went there.
Yeah, man, this was great, dude. I really appreciate you reaching out. This is fun. You know, it's always pleasurable. And when you get these, I call them, because sometimes, man, you've probably done podcasts where it was like pulling teeth and it's just not going anywhere. And you're looking at the clock going, when is this? Is this hour up yet? You know, but that was totally not this, man. I feel like, I don't know. It was almost jumping on with somebody I've hung out with before, you know?
Yeah, which we will at one point. I'm starting to leave the internet world and go to events this year, so I'm sure we're going to find a way to connect in person at one
point. Hopefully, man. Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful. All right, so stay on so we can chat after. But for everyone listening, thank you very much for tuning into the episode. I'll have all of Shane's link down below so you can get the book, look at the blog, try some of the recipes, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to rate the podcast as it helps us grow and spread our message. And if you know this will help and resonate with someone, be sure to send it their way so that they can have the opportunity to level up their life as well.